You think about it, we can't thank God enough for all He's done for us. Even though we suffer sometimes, even though we feel that maybe God has abandoned us and we get low on finances, we get low on food, or some people in our family get sick and we lose loved ones, and we've all lost loved ones. You know, we still can't thank God enough for all He's done for us. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be continuing in our series of messages, Growing in Grace. And this week we're going to talk about the expression of grace. In the Discipleship Journal, author Gene Fleming writes this: "Recently, something joyful happened a few spaces down the church pew from me. The pastor announced that a young boy in our congregation named Crockett had given his heart to Christ that week. Another boy, about 4 years old, jumped up on the seat of the pew, thrust his fist in the air, and yelled, 'Yay, Crockett!' His response was totally unself-conscious. His joy and exuberance, exhilaration, and rebuke me. His mother had him sitting again in a second. Too bad. The entire congregation should have been standing on their pews shouting to God that a lost soul had come to Christ."
Amen. Amen.
I have to say amen to that. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to learn how to express the celebration of new believers coming into the kingdom. Most of the time, we express our joy with more enthusiasm when our football team makes a touchdown than we do when a lost loved one gets saved. You see them in the stands every Sunday and every Thursday night, shouting to the top of their lungs, praising that football game, praising those that make a touchdown. But many times in our churches, we don't hear a whisper out of anybody when a lost soul comes to Christ. Amen. That's something we should express more joy at than anything in the world. It is important to our faith that we learn to express ourselves in a way that defines what we truly believe about God and the work of the church. We can express ourselves like this young man, but what comes out of our mouths. But we can also express ourselves by the way we live our lives and what we do in response to that belief system that God has placed in our hearts. When writing to the Galatian churches, Paul makes a point to show them how to express themselves in a way that would be pleasing to God. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the first 15 verses of Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. For I would that were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite or devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for this church and the people that came out this morning. We ask you, Lord, that give them open ears as we go through this message and teach this lesson. We ask you, Lord, that you'll be with those that are sick this morning, and that the hospitals and nursing homes heal their bodies and bring them back. And Lord, we praise you. We glorify you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary so that we might be made free. We thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Number one, we should express by our dedication to grace. As we've seen in this letter so far, there was a tremendous move in the Galatian church to pull them away from a belief in God's promise and all that he had promised to them through his Son, Jesus Christ. These Galatian people had been pulled away many times, as we learned in our series a couple of weeks ago, how these Judaizers had pulled them back into Judaism, how these people that were against what Paul was teaching had tried to get them to go back into doing the law instead of remembering that they were saved under grace. This, my friend, was not what God wanted. Listen, for those that stuck with God's message of grace, or for those who turned back to it, after reading Paul's letter, there would be pressure from the legalists to turn away from the trust in Christ and to place that trust in their own good works. The same is true for us today. When a legalist sees the freedom that you have in Christ, their first reaction will be try to convert you to the legalist mindset. In other words, they'll try to convert you into thinking that you must do certain things to please God, that you must act a certain way, that you must go a certain place, and that you must do a certain thing. These legalists are all about motions and all about doing things for God and not realizing that you're saved by grace and that you are kept by grace even when you're not able to do anything, even when you're not able to worship God, even when you're not able to come to church. God still loves you. He still cares for you. He still wants you to worship him at home. And these legalists are always trying to get you to their mindset. The reason for this are many, and most of them think they are actually helping you out, but they must resist at all costs their mindset, mainly because, unbeknownst to them, they are working as agents of Satan, trying to pull you away from what Paul said. Look in Galatians 5, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become a none effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Notice what Paul says in this passage. Notice in verse 1 he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Stand fast. Hold fast to that belief. Hold fast that you are a Christian by your belief in Jesus Christ, by grace and grace alone. We should always stand fast in that liberty. Notice what he says. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is that yoke of bondage? It's keeping the law. It's doing things for the benefit of other people's sight to make you become a Christian. This is the spirit of bondage. This bondage will hold you to thinking you've got to do certain things to be pleasing to God. This benefit, this bondage, is something that will lead you down a path that is nothing but Satan-led and Satan-filled. That you are not saved by grace alone. That you've got to add to that grace. You've got to add to something that Christ did on the cross. That you've got to add something to His shed blood. This, my friend, is not what Paul entangled. Notice what he says in verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if circumcision is circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Notice he says that that circumcision, that keeping the law as they normally do, because this is what the Jews taught. The Jews taught that you had to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. That, Paul says, adds nothing to it. He said it profits you nothing. What is Paul telling us? You accepted your status of freedom in Christ. Now don't go blowing it, giving back into the following the law. He specifically points out the circumcision ritual, because that it is part of the law of Moses, the legalists were emphasizing in his day. But what does he say? If you're going to keep part of the law, you've got to keep the entire law, or it won't do you any good. And how many of us can keep the whole law? None of us. God gave the law to Moses. God gave the law to Adam and Eve. And what did they do? He gave them one law. Do not eat of the true tree of good knowledge. What did they do? They broke that law. The first law God ever gave. Don't eat of that tree. And they ate of it. They saw it good. Satan led Eve into eating it. And what did she do? She gave to her husband and he did eat. And it brought sin into the world. It brought death into the world. So none of us are able to do that. Listen, my friend. He says that nothing, that every person reading his letter would know that they are already failed to keep in the law. So if they were relying on it to save them, they're already written their own ticket to doom and destruction. This is a very interesting term here, that it is one of the most misused in the Bible. The term is falling away from God's grace. Paul uses that term not to describe people who have sinned one too many times, but to depict those who have rejected the grace message in favor of the message of legalism. He's not telling those that had given their heart to Christ that they could fall from grace. He's not referring to us losing our salvation. He's telling these people that were in between, that were on the fence, do I serve Christ or do I follow the law? He's telling them, you have fallen from grace. You have given yourself over to the law and you did not accept what Christ offered you. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about people falling from the grace that God has offered them. It is the legalists who have fallen from God's favor because they have chose to return to the substandard system of law keeping. What they have done in spite of the cross of Calvary, making it of no use whatsoever. The message here is a simple one. Dedicate your life to the grace of God and don't let anyone pull you from that path. Secondly, it is expressed by commitment to love. William Barclay said this, more people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than by any theological arguments in the world. And more people have been driven from the church by the hardness and ugliness of so-called Christianity than by all the doubts in the world. Let me tell you, friend, I want to express my opinion on what William Barclay said. More people have brought into the church by the love and compassion that people in the church show them. That is true. More people have been brought into the church by people getting out and spreading the love of Jesus Christ and telling them how much God loves them, expressing their love for God and telling them they need to come and enjoy a good sermon in the house of God. Listen, my friend, more people have come to Christ by the love we show others, even the lost. When we talk to the lost, the love we can show to them will get them where they will be receptive to the word, where they will hear the word, and where they will take it into their hearts. Amen. But when we get into a legalist mode, when we get a hard heart, when we get the ugliness of so-called Christianity and doubts in this world, we drive people out. When you tell people you're better than them, when you make them feel low, when you make them feel that they're not worthy, when you make them feel like they're not accepted by the family of God, listen, this is a hospital for lost people.
Amen.
Too long, churches have been a place where Christians gather and think they don't want the lost to come through their back door. We need to realize this is a hospital where people are saved. People are saved from their sin. People are saved from their wayward lives. People are saved from the bondage of the law. Amen. This is a hospital where people come to find God and find everything He can do for them. There can be no doubt that the statement is true. We will either express our faith through the love generated by God's grace, or we'll express our legalist creed by building walls too high for anyone to climb. Our commitment to love is preceded by our commitment to grace, because until we understand the grace has been shown to us, we will not be able to show it to others. Listen, when we realize that we were once a sinner, when we realize we were once wayward, when we realize we were once in the pit of sin, and God saved us out of that sin, when we realize that, we will be able to share it with others.
Amen.
When we realize that, we can share the good news of the gospel. Paul says in verses 5 through 10, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaveneth, leaven the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that he will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. If I really believe in Jesus Christ, and if I accept his gift of grace, I will be a loving person. This is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is love. God places in us a heart of love to share with the world. God places in us a heart that reaches out even to the wayward, even to the dirty, even to the drunkard, even to those that are lost in this world. The love that God puts in our hearts through the Holy Spirit is a love that cannot be contained. It must be shown to the world. It must be shown everywhere. Listen, Paul says that is what really counts. Again, he warns us that there are people trying to block our path, but God is going to take care of them. The issue here is not what we do or what we do with the legalists, but what we do with our faith in the Lord. Through His grace and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we begin to love like He loves. And in the context, Paul says, I believe he is explicitly drawing our attention to showing us the importance of loving those who oppose us. In other words, will we oppose the legalist's attempts to pull us away from God's grace? At the same time, we must love even those that are trying to pull us away with the hope that God will be able to soften their hearts and they will join us in our acts of love. Jesus taught us, but I say unto you, ye which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. We are only able to do this and follow this command when we understand the grace of God. We are only able to do what Jesus taught us when we understand that God's grace is a grace that fills us with a love of Christianity. It fills us with the love that we spread through the entire world. It fills us with the love that cannot be contained and must be expressed to others. Grace is expressed through a commitment to love in much the same way that Jesus taught us. Love your enemies. Do good to those that hurt you. Do good to those that would abuse you. We are not called to love only those who love us back, but even those like the legalists who strike at us and would try to do us harm. This is how true grace expresses love to others. The third thing we want to look at is expressed by devotion to the cross. Since it is through the cross event the gift of grace is offered to us, it only makes sense that we would express grace through our devotion to the cross of Christ. Something I want to make sure is getting through to you in this congregation about legalism is how it downplays the importance of the cross in our salvation. To believe that circumcision or doing good works or any other type of law keeping will save us in any way, shape, or form implies that the cross was not enough to save us and that the cross was not enough to keep us safe. Listen, the cross was enough. Christ's shed blood was sufficient. The legalists say you got to add to that. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to live your Christian life faithful to the very end. You cannot falter. You cannot sin. You cannot fail. You cannot do anything or you won't be accepted into heaven. Listen, God made us imperfect. The Bible says God remembereth our frame. He remembers we are made from dust. So God knows we're imperfect. God knows how we live. God knows we make mistakes. God knows we make failures. God knows we are not perfect, but He still loves us. He still loves us even though we are not perfect. God made us imperfect, so He's got to love us. There's not but one perfect person that ever was perfect that stood on this planet, and that was Jesus. Amen. He was the only perfect person that ever walked on this earth. Listen. The legalists believe that something happened at the cross that is placed in our favor, but our good works have to be added to what Jesus did for it to take effect in our lives. It is Jesus plus something else that saves us, according to the legalists. But according to God, it is Jesus plus nothing that saves us. I cannot do, and you cannot do, anything to add to what Jesus has already done. All I can do is accept what Jesus has done on my behalf. That is what Jesus taught. That is what Paul taught. That's what the entire Bible teaches. The cross is the only thing that can save us from a wretched condition and bring us into the very presence of Almighty God. Now, some of the Galatian legalists were trying to put Paul's stamp of approval on their false teaching by claiming that he agreed with him and had been circumcised to be saved. But Paul straightens them out. Look in verses 11 through 12. "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you." Notice what Paul said. He said, "I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution?" He's asking a question there. Why do I suffer persecution if I talk about circumcision? Why do I suffer persecution? Then he goes on and says, "Then is the offense of the cross ceased? For I would they were even cut off which trouble you." Our friend Paul is royally ticked off by the misinformation being spread about him concerning circumcision. In fact, he literally says here that he wishes those who are required circumcision will go all the way with it and castrate themselves. That is literally what this means. In other words, if circumcision has a chance to save you, castration will do wonders. Paul will later explain in Galatians 6:12, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." Paul said, circumcision doesn't benefit you at all. Non-circumcision doesn't benefit you at all. He said, "I wish these that were circumcised would have been castrated completely." He talks about the fact that their circumcision did not accomplish anything. It didn't bring them closer to God. It didn't save their soul. It couldn't make them right with God. He says, "I, Paul, speak unto you as a man of God, to tell you that grace alone can save you. That it is God's grace without circumcision, without doing good works, without doing anything at all. You can only be saved through the grace of God. When we see Paul and we join Paul in expressing the grace that is ours by proclaiming that the cross of Christ alone can save. We did not need circumcision or good works or law keeping or honoring a special day to save us. They are all rubbish in the face of the cross. We are devoted to the act that took place on the cross and to the God-man that was nailed to the cross and to the effect the cross has on each of our souls. We focus on the cross. We honor the cross. We appreciate the cross. We recognize that the cross and the cross alone is what makes it possible for us to experience the gift of grace that God offers to all of us. And it is in the cross and only in the cross that our debt was fully paid. There's nothing that I or you or anyone else can do that will equal what Jesus has already done for us on the cross. So let's stop trying and start living like the kingdom people that God has created us to be. And realize that it is grace alone that saves us. It is the cross of Christ alone that offered salvation. It's Christ's death on the cross when he hung there between heaven and earth, shed his blood, and his blood ran down to the earth that saved our souls. It is through Christ alone can we be what God would have us to be. Fourthly and lastly, our love for God and the grace that we have should be expressed by obedience to serve God. Sometimes we talk about grace and freedom that comes with it. Then there's a misunderstanding about obedience. Grace does not teach us that God doesn't care if we obey his directives or not. Quite the opposite is true. Grace gives us the ability to live out God's commands through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's primary command is, always has been, that we love him and love each other. Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if we bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. What freedom have we been called to, Paul? Freedom to sin. No, freedom to obey God by serving one another in love. Our obedience to serve one another will cause us to put on the others the new flax shirt, to wash each other's feet, to stand beside that person that is hurting, to stand beside that person that is lonely, to stand beside that person that is hungry, and to feed them. The cross of Christ is what impels us to go and serve God in a way that is pleasing to him. Our obedience to serve one another will cause us to love God even more, to laugh with those that are experiencing joy, to work shoulder to shoulder with those attempting to make a difference for the kingdom. It is grace expressed through obedience to serve God that we can and will make an impact on the world around us. And it is in that grace that we will overcome all that the world can throw at us. In conclusion, listen, my friend, are you dedicated to the message of grace today? Are you committed to love even those that don't love you back? Are you devoted to the cross of Christ alone for your salvation? And know that it's the cross only that has saved your life. The message of the cross that we preach. Are you living in obedient service to others? All of these we're all called to as expressions of the grace that God has showered upon each of us. All of these are definitions of who we are and who we can become if we'll only allow God to do His work in our lives and work through us. Are you ready to let God work a miracle in your life? Are you ready to turn your life over to Him? Are you ready to let Him work a miracle in your life today through the cross of Christ and through the shed blood of Jesus? That, my friend, is the only thing that will get you to heaven, is realizing that it is only through Christ, it is only through His shed blood, and it is only through the cross event that we can have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring Your word this morning. We pray, Father, that I've explained it in a way that's easy to understand, that people will realize that the law cannot benefit us anything, that circumcision cannot benefit us anything, that good works cannot benefit us anything, that only through the cross of Christ can we be saved. Only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that He gave on Calvary can we come into a relationship with You. Lord, we ask You that You would bless our invitation, bless those that are here, and if anyone has a need, we pray, Father, that You would meet that need this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.